So it is with extreme pleasure that we receive Ali Safi and Mohamed Aboulwakar. Mohamed Aboulwakar is a Moroccan filmmaker who studied at the FGIC, who worked in Morocco, but also had a life in Moscow. He went back to Moscow, and he has a family and grandchildren in Moscow. When you Google his name, he comes up mostly as a painter. But because Ali Safi is my big teacher in cinema, I discovered Mohamed Aboulwakar's films and had the extreme honor to show them in different places, mostly at the MoMA in New York. Merci beaucoup pour être venu.
Thank you very much for being here. And I'll give you a microphone. It's striking to be in this atmosphere. It's striking to be in this VGIK atmosphere again. And people know even more than I do about the whole situation. There's all these statistics presented. And I see all the dates. And I try to recall exactly how it was back then, today with Gabrielle. She really explained everything, I have to say. I virtually have nothing left to say. She took the words right out of my mouth. And what incredible energy. And what a memory. And there was also so much emotion as well, listening to her. She described so much. And it's not about ideology and politics. It's something different. And we were well received. I mean, let's not worry about the political issues, but we were well received and welcomed. The atmosphere felt very normal. The professor, in a sense, adopted you, almost as if he were your father. And the language teachers as well. The language teachers are as they were like your mother, really. There were some students who didn't really attend the courses or anything like that. But there was really a sense of trust and a sense of affection. I remember you something I remember as well. I had already been involved in theater and in painting from a very young age, so when I left, I took all of that with me as well. There were some people who hadn't finished their studies who were taken on board. We were given a helping hand so as to be able to pass the entrance exam to the VGIK. And the VGIK was the only institution that was autonomous and free to choose. The state did not impose particular students, as is the case at other universities or institutions. It was different, for example, for doctors or administrative officials. But the VGIK was autonomous in these matters. And these were strong figures. It was a strong institution. And these were really the grand masters of cinema, sometimes already getting on in years. What was interesting for us was that in the 1960s, things changed a bit, actually, at that phase. It wasn't the way that it had been right at the outset. there was an awareness of the contribution of those who came to the country as well, who came in search of knowledge. It wasn't just about being dispatched politically because there was some agreement between one country and another. It was about searching for knowledge. I'll let you get to Nejin in a moment, a word in a moment, but there's also the question of why a particular student has been allowed to study there. But it's wonderful to hear people talking about the VGIK, about culture, about the preparatory stage as well, preparing for this. Now, all kinds of memories are re-emerging, it has to be said. Gabrielle is really striking. She's really taught me all kinds of things. But the first year along you come, and right away you have to engage with the Russian language. In the three first months, I learned to read Tolstoy. That's the way I am. I don't know about the others, but that was my ambition. I wanted to speed things up and to learn faster. I was interested in literature. And I saw new things, I discovered new things. But I encountered an entire people living poetry. They were all poets, every single one of them. They were all poets. They spoke as if they were reading poetry or proclaiming poetry. When you see them queuing, for example, in the morning, in the museums which we visited, they queue up and they buy tickets, and they still do, despite the economic situation. People go to see operas. They pay for tickets to see operas. They go to museums. And that's perhaps the salvation of this people. I'm very emotional here because, in a sense, I'm part of that people. Now I've got children and so on. And it's a people which has a great culture behind them, and they live with that culture, I'm glad to say. In our countries, well, it's not necessarily that way. You don't say they're underdeveloped countries, you say they're developing countries, living with very little, but there you're given everything. And a teacher can come to your home to revise what you've gone over in class. Surprising things for us. We were colonized by the French, you know how it was, and all of their kind of attitude towards us. So just compare the two situations. So they really offer you something important. There were several things which were lacking. Some people didn't manage to complete their studies because they didn't manage to learn enough. They didn't attend the class. Nothing was imposed. No ideology was imposed at all. There were certainly rules and so on. But I certainly felt I remained an individual and free. And all of my student colleagues were also as individual. There were Tarkovsky films there, and for example, it was the age, golden age in a sense. And there was another generation as well, a really strong generation. We saw all of the films that were being made abroad as well. Antonioni, for example, the minute that it came out, Pasolini, Bergman. It wasn't the same ideology, it wasn't the same kind of school of filmmaking either. But we saw this, and it was important for us and for the VGIK. They were lecturers who really demanded that we know about world cinema too, and we know about cinema. Gabriel mentioned this actually. In the first year, you studied the language. And I started to go to literature classes as well. And there was a professor who took me under his wing, took me to exhibitions as well. And when I'm learning the language, I really like to get involved. I also did theater, and I felt as if I'd been adopted. I felt like I was one of their own, as if they took me to their heart. And during the exams, there was the music course as well, music from my country. Well, there's no music from my country even. And then there was a student the same age as me, called up to the front, and he played the piano. And they asked me what I could do. And I said, well, have I got a flute? I played what I could play. So we had a really full time schedule at the VGIK. Perhaps it was easier for the Russians. It's their culture, it's their language, and they're already much better educated in school as well. We were learning everything all at once. We had to make a great effort. If people wanted to make an effort, they had to make an effort to succeed. You can continue doing language classes, and you can also learn. You could also learn other languages if you wanted to. And there were also acting classes. Our master class, the Gerasimov one, great filmmaker, by the way. When I was studying, the Rom was around as well. And there was somebody else they were also always competing, actually. They had different editing theories. Kolishov was there as well, who was one of Eisenstein's assistants, by the way. And he spoke French, because he really came from an aristocratic background, but the revolution had taken them on board nonetheless. And apparently there was some drama with an actress as well. Anyway, he used to stay there until the middle of the night, studying with me and working on editing with me as well. It was quite remarkable. It wasn't all about just directing either. Think about a film. It's not really so much about the screenplay, it's not literature, it's about the image. It's about, in a sense, painting. And painting was important to me, whether a Russian painting or a foreign painting, all painting, from the Italian Renaissance on. We had a professor, 90 years old as well, who would give lectures everywhere on the history of art. And without painting, I don't know what I would do. But an image is not something, it's not about just taking a camera and shooting an image. You have to have the composition, but where did that composition come from? The composition came from painting. Well, yes, exactly. I want to interrupt to underline this point, because he's going to reveal all my secrets. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Atari. Maybe I talked too much. He was afraid he was about talking, but once he got started, the comfortable atmosphere of the VGIK Well, no, I couldn't stop because I realized that so much effort had been made. It's a real chapter of history. She was talking about that room, and that was the room where we saw the films. We used to sit there and watch the films. Films from all over the place. We saw everything. Silent films and everything. Soviet films, Russian films, foreign films. That's the way it was. Let me just say something about painting. Because as we heard yesterday in Valerie's, with reference to Valerie's film, most of the first generation of African filmmakers didn't have any background whatsoever in pictorial and visual training, in those kinds of arts. And to demonstrate the contrary, I think sitting next to me, I have the only African filmmaker who, before training as a filmmaker, had actually already trained as a painter, as he's mentioned, and also working in the theater, very significantly. But above all, painting. When he was 14, he had his very first exhibition. And before that, Mohammed, since he was small, had done this kind of thing. His father was a craftsman, so he worked with him. He was an apprentice under his father. And I've discovered as well that even from the outset, in Moscow, you showed your paintings. Well, yes, I showed my paintings in Moscow. There were students from the VGIK who showed their work. I had to choose when I arrived, either doing theatre or painting, but not cinema at that point for the first year. When you come along, you are really involved in looking at the various different disciplines. I was shown some films and I was thought, yes, I want to make films. But I'd brought along with me a lot of works that I'd produced. And there was some surprise that there's somebody coming from a developing country more or less had some idea of how to paint. In the first year of the school in the VGIK, it was the students, really, let me tell you. Students who were doing set design, actually. Russian students doing set design. I had a kind of Chagall, Matisse kind of approach in my painting. And they said, well, why don't you do a show on our floor? It was felt that this would influence the students. Potentially, that was one risk that would influence them to paint in a particular way, but I nonetheless made the show. I always think about Parajanov as well. You were very soon in touch with people from the Caucasus as well, and Parajanov also had this tendency to produce the visual aspect to paint as well. Did you have contacts with them then, or was it later with the Georgians, for example? No, it was all at the same time, in the first year. And in parallel as well. I keep forgetting the names. It wasn't Parajanov, it was somebody else, Alexandre. He was with me in class. He'd already learned how to use a camera, but he wanted to actually direct a film as well. Partly because he also painted. And as we were both painted, we started discussing and got to know each other. He introduced me to Sigi Abulaji, to Abulaji, and also to Parajanov. And I was with them. They were friends. And I remember saying to them, You should come to Morocco and show your films. I didn't expect they really would, but you know how the situation was. And that was really important. It also depends not just what you study, but the people that you meet. Sometimes the foreign students were a bit cut off from the others for whatever reason. But I wanted to enter into an exchange. Now, you were close, you said, to these people from people in the Caucasus. Was it a personal link, or was it because of their film work that you got to know them? Well, on the first instance, it was through their films, or because of the specific situation. I had friends, for example. When you talk about the Soviet Union, don't forget people didn't draw distinctions between each other and didn't say, oh, he's a Turkmen and he's whatever. None of that. It was more about the work that people had done, what they'd filmed. Somebody who filmed, who didn't film in Mauritania, but filmed in Turkmenistan. That was one thing. The situation of these peoples. In a sense, reflects our tradition, the African tradition or the Arabic tradition. And sometimes you'd say to yourself, well, this is interesting, that a great deal has happened because of this revolution. People can go to university now, for example. As an example for the Third World, and Tashkent wasn't just a center of culture and so on. There was also commercialization of films, Hindu films and so on as well. A lot of people came to sell their films as well in Tashkent at the festival. And I've been influenced by certain films, as you'll see. What kind of films? Konchalovsky, for example. The film that was shot in Kyrgyzstan. A master staring obscurantism in the face and grappling with that. People reluctant to learn. So it's interesting to compare that with our situation. And I learned a great deal from films as well. And also by comparing them, there were also Asian films that we saw, films from the Caucasus. I was friends with people from the Caucasus. There was also Armenian film. Don't forget about them. And all of that somehow or other chimed with my feelings. It chimed with my preferences, because I felt as if they were more or less in the same situation as us in our country. Tarkovsky is one thing. Tarkovsky is a very Russian filmmaker, a real effusion and effervescence of Russian culture. Yes, talking about Tarkovsky and The Killers, your degree film. Tarkovsky also adapted the same literary work for his degree film. I wonder if that had been what influenced you, but you told me that you hadn't seen that film though. So which of Tarkovsky's works had you seen? There was Ivan's Childhood and there was Andrei Rublev at that point in time. In 65, that's when Andrei Rublev came out. And Ivan's Childhood was actually earlier than that. Yes, I was wondering which Tarkovsky films you'd seen. And Tarkovsky has also influenced your work, I think. Well, it's part and parcel of the country's culture, of Russian culture. Gabriel really said just about everything already, actually. We read a great deal of literature in translation as well, which was something I didn't have access to in Morocco. The Trial by Kafka, for example, is not translated. Moravia, all kinds of writers. And we picked writers who'd written novellas. So there were really all kinds of writers. And the masters would say to us, go and look for the right piece of literature for you in the first year. As I said, you make the film, the 16mm film. And the second year, it's already a choice from literature. Or perhaps it was in the third year. You have to pick from literature, not your own screenplay as such, but actually from literature. And I was interested in this work. There's this humanism, which is important as well. That's why it interested me. But I haven't seen Tarkovsky's film. And I haven't seen the American film in question either. And when I presented it, I wanted to do an adaptation. And I had a screenplay, I had the dialogue. But since it's a narrative without so much dialogue as such. And that makes it tricky. There's always the question of, do you adapt something? Or do you really produce something entirely different, subverting it almost in a sense? It's really about translating this into images, and that's tricky. Literary adaptation is a tricky business. So that was my degree film. And there was a 35mm silent film that we made as well. I made more than one, actually. The school was absolutely fantastic. Day in and day out, you're on the set directing. And you're also looking at working with actors and the work of actors. We had actors, and it was us who trained them, not the faculty. Initially, you have short anecdotes that you work on, and you're given a topic or a writer. Google, for example, they say Google. Dead Souls, for example, by Gogol. And everyone chooses a scene from that film and then films it. I see. Well, there's a great deal to be said, but we're told that we've already run out of time and that now we should let them have a look at the film, at The Killers. And after the screening, you'll be able to talk some more about these ideas. I also had a whole load of questions I wanted to ask you, but we're running out of time, unfortunately. So, have a nice screening, and we'll be happy to talk to you afterwards.